Good morning.
Good morning.
So pleasant this morning to wake up to the rain. Just a wonderful time. Get so much dryness around here. It's nice to see some rainfall in the night, in the morning. Wake up, everything's so nice and clean. Welcome. This is the first time you've been here and visiting. I want to welcome you today. I'd like to begin this message by asking you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. If you need a Bible and don't have one, raise your hand. I'd be glad to get you one. I know the people in the middle sections have Bibles now. So, a lot of Bibles in the middle sections. But if you're on the side sections, I think if you need one, just raise your hand. Let's begin today by turning to the book of Ephesians. As we prepared to move into this building, and we were talking about a place that would be our home for a church, we spent a lot of time talking in the book of John about the words of Jesus Christ, where He said that if we love Him and keep His word, that the Father would love us and that they would come and make their home with us. That's found in John 14, verses 23 and 24. And we talk about what the purpose is of a church, the facility that we have here that has been in this month of dedication being given to God. We want what happens here to be for His purposes. And we talked about all the work and the preparation that has been going on and continues to go on to make this a place where we can come together to worship. But again, it's not the purpose just to have a place that looks good or a place that's comfortable. But it is a place that facilitates worship. This is a facility. The facility is here to facilitate worship, to do the work of ministry that God has called us to do. So notice here now in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 7 it says, "To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." His grace, His empowering presence that changes us, that transforms us, that calls us out, that cleanses us, His life toward us, freely given. And He says, "He ascended on high and He led captivity captive." And certainly we were captives to sin, but now we are captive unto His grace and in His love. "And He gave gifts to men." Now this He ascended, what does it mean? "But He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that He might fill all things." Now notice this, He himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. He gave them as gifts. Apostles are one that are sent forth. They're given direction. And God says, go build a church. Go to this place and feed the hungry. Serve the poor. It's a direction. One that's given a mission is an apostle that's sent forth. He gave some prophets. What's a prophet? A prophet is one who speaks under the inspiration of God. Things prophetic, maybe in things of the future, or things that God wants to relay. He sent His prophets out both to tell what would happen, also to tell people their sins and what they needed to repent of. But the important thing about a prophet is they speak under inspiration of God. That God is in them and directing what they say. He gave some, it says here, to be evangelists. They're the ones that are sent to just preach the good news. To declare it. To teach, make plain the gospel. To let it be known. To proclaim that message. Some pastors, those who guide and oversee congregations, people helping, nurturing, as a shepherd would the flock. A pastor, that is the word actually for shepherd. To nurture along. And then teachers, those who teach how to live the way God would have us know to live. Jesus spent a lot of time teaching, showing what God was saying, how mankind should be living, educating people. And all of this, He said, He gave gifts, He gave these roles for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Everything that is happening when you come into a service of people where there is teaching and ministries and activity that is going on by the direction of God and through the Holy Spirit is for the equipping of saints for the work of ministry. So, how is it that we go about becoming equipped. It's through the things that God has given to the church so that we're constantly progressing. When someone goes forth as an apostle, it is to go forward with the mission that God has directed them to do. And with prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, it is bringing people unto God. At first, the whole responsibility and relationship is just to listen, to learn, to repent, to believe the gospel, to come to Jesus Christ and have a relationship. And that response, just like with a babe, is to just receive that nurturing, that care, that love. But the purpose of that care and the love, friends, just as we train up children to become adults, it is for equipping for ministry. The word ministry, it simply just means service. Everything that we go through in the process of our calling, in our relationship with Christ, He's bringing us to ministry. It's not just about knowing things, having doctrine in our head, having the gospel in our head, where we sit back and that's, you know, if we say, yes, I agree with that, that that's our life. The purpose is to come out with fruit, with a work of ministry that takes on all these different forms that God would have us fulfill. Inasmuch as the human body has different roles and different functions, the white blood cells, the red blood cells, the muscles, the tendons, the ligaments, all the various organs, every part has a role to play. It's very diverse, but one head directs it all. And so much as we see that in our bodies, we see that with God. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Notice this. For the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. That the body is growing stronger and stronger through the nurturing that it receives. And what happens in a congregation. But notice this. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Did you know that that's why you're here? Till we all come to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And when God created the heavens and earth, He took the dust of the earth and He said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. That was how the life of human beings began. I want you to just think about that. All the animals God created, each after their own kind, but when it came to mankind, He said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. That work is a work that was not just done with jars of clay. It's a work that is being done right now, right here, this day. It is done in the nurturing that comes through the body of Christ, through the gifts, that there is an equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, till we come to a unity of faith and of a knowledge of a Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are learning who He is. And everything in our relationship, everything in our walk, everything that we're doing is bringing us to know Christ, that we can see our Lord, this Lord that we have sung about here today and worshiped. Because no one is worthy like Jesus Christ of our worship. There is no other name by which we may be saved. There is no other way to the Father except through Him. But what He is bridging us to and what He's bringing us to is this new image, this new likeness, where He takes us from where we were in our lives and maybe even where we are right now today, and He is transforming us into this new man, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, that we should no longer, He says, be tossed about. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Isn't that beautiful? The whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's what happens with us, right? When we're directed by a head, doesn't every part of your body do what the head wants for the edifying and the care of your own self? Each part of your body serves a function. Each part of your body meets a need for the whole body for the care of itself. When the church is working as it should be, there is a relationship where we each receive instruction from our head, Jesus Christ, that comes out with fruit and with ministry for one another. That is really what the church looks like. A group of people, of which we are just a small, small part of God's church here, but a group of people that is working under the head for the ministry that we've been called to do. The role of being a child of God is not just to come, to hear messages, to study and have knowledge, to have agreement without ministry. The purpose of the learning, the purpose of worshiping and coming to God is for the development, for the work of ministry. And so as God has blessed us with a home now, to a place to meet, this physical building, this facility is a place where God has given us a facility that facilitates the worship of Him and facilitates the ministry and love of one another. So I'm challenging you today that you look unto God, ask of yourself, what am I to be doing, Lord? How do you want me to serve? What work would you have me do? Is my job just learning right now? Is my job just growing as a babe into an older person? I just need more nurturing. I need more teaching at this point. Maybe you're saying, no, I need to start coming forward. But it's God that directs this work. The understanding of who you are and why you're here and the purposes that you serve on this earth, all coming from God Himself, to know what it is to be in His will. It says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we are to be living sacrifices, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to encourage you today to realize that you were made in the image and likeness of God, that God is bringing you to a work and a ministry in your life where in whatever way He has chosen for you and me as part of His body to be functioning in His body for the care and nurturing of one another. That's our role. What are we? Who are we? How do we fit in? But everything of our learning, everything that we do when we come to a meeting is to be encouraged in this responsibility we have to God. To share Christ with others in our words, in our thoughts, in our actions. To be a part of His work and His ministry. Notice this. He says, so, verse 17, I therefore say and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. In other words, you've been called to something greater. Don't walk that way. What walk does the old way have with what God has called you to? There's a new walk, a new way to think and live. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Isn't that awesome? That the whole cleanup process, that everything that God is doing in your life is to work in you this work of righteousness and holiness, that your life can then be a blessing to someone else. Do you see? your life a blessing to someone else? How do you fit into that body? That is what we're pursuing. That is why we're here learning. That is what we're doing. God is taking us from step to step, growing us and developing us that we may bring glory and honor to Him. Turn with me over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. I want you to notice in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, speaking of Jesus, it said in Luke chapter 4 and in verse 1, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Now those words there, Jesus being filled, means He was filled up. It was like a glass. It was full of whatever you poured into it. And Jesus, being a vessel, was filled up with the Holy Spirit. And He was led by the Spirit. When we come to give our lives to God, one of the most beautiful promises that we are offered, He says in Acts 2, verse 38, He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And He says that that calling is to you and to your children and all who are called. All who are afar off. God brings us together to Him to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with God, that we may be led by God. That our lives would be changed and transformed. And what an amazing thing it is that through our lives we have these sins and these hurts and these sins that have been done against us. We have these wounds that need to be healed and bound up again. And what God is wanting to do in our lives is to take us and heal us and form us into His image that we may be a part of that process for someone else. That's what we're called to do. The excitement of having this church building is really just a place where this work can take place. And that we each fit a role, no matter what that role is, to accomplishing that bigger work that God has for us. Notice here again in Luke chapter 4, so He says, "And being tempted for 40 days by the devil, in those days He ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, He was hungry. And the devil said to Him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' And Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.'" And it's interesting when you look back in Deuteronomy, where Jesus is quoting from here. God said that when He led the Israelites out of Egypt, He let them suffer thirst and hunger. He humbled them to see what was in their heart. He humbled them to test whether or not this was true in them. Now you look at that story, many times in my life I've contemplated, how was God upset when there was no water and they were unhappy about that? How was it that He was upset that there was no food, they were hungry in the wilderness, wondering what they were going to eat? But see, it's a very carnal perspective when you look at your circumstances and say, this is what I've got, compared to looking at Almighty God who was there in a pillar of fire and a cloud, and He's saying, I'm right here to provide for you. And in our lives, it's the same thing that God is asking. Why are we living? Are we living for food and drink? Are we living for the things that can build up our flesh and bring health to our flesh in a physical way? Or are we looking for what God teaches us and edifies us with from His Spirit, from His Word? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Doesn't mean we stop eating physically, but do we see the greater food that Jesus is talking about here and the greater need that we have when we come to Christ and we say, you're my everything. You are what gets me up in the morning. You are what causes me to go to work in the day. You are the one that I live for, because everything about who You are, I want to be. I respect You, God. I respect the way You care for Your creation. I respect the way You are righteous and just and perfect. I respect that You are a God of salvation who loves to forgive, who's compassionate and merciful, who knows that we're but flesh, who knows exactly what our sins are, who knows exactly what's in our heart, and He's not running from us. He knows who we are. He knows who you are. He knows the thoughts of your heart, your mind. He knows the things that you're going through. And God is working, and Jesus is working, even to this day, to bring you near to Him. So when Jesus was fasting, He was being tempted because He was hungry. I mean, what greater thing is there that our flesh wants than to be fed? But that's the beauty of fasting. That's why it's one of the things that Jesus' disciples do. Because when you say, I'm not going to feed my flesh, you're going right to the frontline battle and saying, no. I'm telling you, flesh, no. And I'm asking you, God, to feed me with what you have. That's what fasting is all about. It's not just about trying to endure a period of time and not eating. It's getting on the front lines and saying no to your flesh. You do it with food, but the point is, every way the flesh wants to come out, every way that we walk in futility of mind, every way that we walk in blindness, fulfilling our lust, and not thinking about God and others. And what Jesus was doing here was basically when the temptation came, He drew from the Word of God and He said, no. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That is what I live by. That is what I'm living on. So the devil, verse 5, taking him up on a mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you in their glory, and this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. And He brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So notice what Jesus did in this whole time of fasting. He was filled with God's Spirit. He was led by God's Spirit. When he was tempted, he did not give in to fleshly desires. Not for his provision. Not for power. Not even to tempt God. He submitted to God's Word. And he used God's Word as his sword to defeat the evil one. Now, this is very important because when you go back to Ephesians, I want you to think, he said he gave gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. The works of all these gifts that God gives the church is to build up the church. Mainly through going after to pursue people for Christ, to proclaim the gospel, to teach, to nourish, to edify, to reveal the things that are from God's heart. They work together in harmony to build up the body with what? With God's Word. That God's Word would be in our midst. The power that Jesus had when He was faced with the devil that is recorded for us in Luke 4 and in Matthew 4 is when He was tempted after being hungry, the sword He drew was God's Word. He was living by that Word. And in it, He was overcoming the power of the flesh. So in the fasting, He is saying no to the flesh. When the enemy comes, He defeats him by the Word. Now why is this important? Because the process is for you and me. You see, we started as sinners, didn't we? We started as unrighteous. We started as unholy with a need for God. We confessed our sins. We confessed that we were sinners and we needed God. Jesus Christ is the answer of salvation to every one of us in this room. To know who He is, to have the relationship, to believe in the transaction that God made, that in sending His Son, that if you and I would believe that Jesus died for us, that He bore our iniquities on that cross, that we have been cleansed from our unrighteousness, and by His blood we are washed clean. But even more than that, that by His resurrection life, He imputes to you and me righteousness apart from law. You see, when someone sins or when someone breaks the law, you really have two choices. You either enforce the law or you grant mercy. There's your choices. Enforce the law or grant mercy. Oh, praise be to God that by belief and faith in what Christ has done, He blesses us with mercy. He gives us life. And He forgives all the sins. Because what is sin? Sin is basically doing everything that causes pain and sorrow and misery and broken relationships and death. So when you really understand God's law, you realize that what is against God's law is what is carnal, what is flesh. It's the things that tear down everything good. God will say, do not commit adultery. Why? Because He knows that if you're going to have a successful relationship in your marriage, there has to be fidelity and faithfulness in that relationship. And if that is broken, pain is going to ensue. God did not tell us to not commit adultery to keep something good from us. He told us do not commit adultery because He wants to prevent the heartache that comes when adultery is part of a relationship with people. It breaks it apart. God did not say you should not be a false witness because lying was a good thing. He said it because He knew what lying causes, the distrust. And what God is bringing us to understand is that we were created in His image to have fellowship with Him, that we share life with Him. And this life of knowing Him is saying, how do we relate? Do you love me? Can I trust you? Are you committed? These are the questions that we ask of one another. These are the questions we ask of God. These are the questions that we want to have the answers to. When we come to Christ to know Him, when we are taught His word and His ways, there is then a walk that must follow whereby God sees what's in our hearts. That we say no to the flesh and yes to God. When Jesus was doing this, He was setting forth an example of what was necessary to be ready for ministry. It was a learning to live by that word. So He says, verse 13, when the devil had ended every temptation, He departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of Him went throughout all the surrounding regions. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord for the work of ministry. The ministry. What Jesus went through in His example for us of being filled, of being led, and then walking in that Spirit, overcoming the flesh, overcoming the evil one, He returned then in the power of the Spirit to minister. That's your course, friends. That is your course. To seek to be filled with God. To seek to be led by God. That by the power of God you would overcome your flesh and the evil one. So that you can then minister to others. Everything that we are doing in life is we are being equipped for the work of ministry. To know the Word of God and to live by it. To be filled with the Spirit of God and to be led by it. To walk in a way that comes from God, that the Spirit of God would have power in our lives for the ministry that He wants you and me to be doing. Your life is to be given to God as a sacrifice. Your life is to be given to God as a service that God, through you, would bring this to someone else. Do you realize what an honor it is to be alive and in the image of God and to be called to help others come to know Him? To be freed from this world, to be freed from the things that cause such pain and harm, and to be filled with His purpose, His leading, His ministry that He made you for. God knew you from the very beginning. God knows who you are. God knows the things that He has put into you, your talents, your abilities. He knows the spiritual gifts that He will give to you for the time and the purpose and the place. And this is something that is given to a church that is hungry. That is hungry for Him. That is hungry for the longing that is in God's heart, that longing to be with us and to be reconciled with us and to have fellowship with us be always in our hearts. That there be a burden for God in the seeking of God. Friends, we are living in a nation so blessed by the work of others seeking God, we are still reaping the benefits of it. But we are turning from God in so many ways and have been turning for so long. And now the ship is going in a direction that is actually apart from God and apart from His Word and apart from His ways. And God is saying, don't you see where all this goes? Can't you see the prophecies before you? That when a nation turns away from God, that it is doomed? Blessed is the nation God is for and the people He has chosen. And friends, He is calling to you and me to continue to stand in the gap for every person we can. But that is not just about figuring out activities and throwing something at the wall and seeing what sticks. It's about a hunger for God. All true ministry comes from God. Jesus said, "The words I speak are not my own words." If Jesus said that, how much more you and me? Jesus said, "The works that I do are not my own works, but as I see the Father doing, that I do." They were His works. To be healthy as a church, to truly minister to others, we must have at the very foundation of each of our lives and collectively in our lives, God. Our relationship with Him. That everything be done by our head, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the one who directs. Jesus Christ is the one who shows. And if you are unsure about what to do, don't just start throwing it at the wall. Don't just try to see what sticks. Go to God and ask for the revelation, the inspiration to know what you need to be doing. The answer may be, start praying for people. Study my Word and see what it says. Spend time with me and become acquainted with me. It might be, start serving somewhere. How are you helping the homeless? God could lead you to that. God could lead you to help those that are considering having an abortion and making a huge decision in their lives whether that baby will live or die. But you see, for each person in this room, that answer most likely is going to be a little bit different. One part of the body can't tell another part of the body what it should be doing if the body is to work in harmony. I'm talking right now, but I don't tell my hand what to do. My brain does that. My mouth can speak words, but my brain, my head controls my hands. My brain controls my legs. If I want to run, it's my brain that does that. It tells it. Every function in my body is controlled by the head. It is no different in God's church. The reason that God brings that up is He wants us to understand how clear that is. That the way the body works together is it's all taking its leading from one head. I'm not that head. I'm just a part of the body like you are. The head is Jesus Christ. Friends, the just live by faith, living by faith in Him, looking to Him for our daily bread, looking for Him to give us daily direction. God loves you so much. And you are called and chosen. And the amazing thing is that in all the equipping for the work of the ministry and through all the ministry that you will do, He's continuing to develop you into who He wants you to be. It's not that we get things right and then we start ministering and the getting things worked out in our lives stops. It actually keeps growing to fruition. So He says here, the Spirit, because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the work of God. You've been called to be a part of that. In whatever way God has chosen for you, that's the Spirit of Christ. That Spirit that was in Christ is the Spirit that is given to you when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and you believe in Him. And that Spirit will deliver you, and that Spirit will help you to help deliver others. That's why I said, what an honor that is. What an honor it is to take part in the process to see someone freed from this world to Christ. To have the power from God. Notice this, what it says in Ephesians chapter 3. He says in verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man." That's that same word, dunamis in the Greek, that we saw when Jesus came back with the power of the Spirit. That's the word that's translated might. Strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what God wants for you. To be filled with all the fullness of God, that God living in you would be a blessing that flows out from you, that your life is dead to the flesh and the world. Your life is filled with God and God's purposes and God's plans, that the way you live is now directed toward Him and everything. Everything you've been called to is to this greater and higher purpose, to serve Almighty God. So now to Him, it says, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. There is that word again. According to the power, the dunamis, the power of God's Spirit that works in us. Friends, do you understand what He's saying? That the power to work is already in. The power is there. Now to Him, He says, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Jesus was filled. Jesus was led. Jesus went and fasted and overcame the enemy by the Word of God. And He returned in the power of the Spirit and His ministry began. The work of ministry in your lives is a product of you living by the Word. It's a product of you applying what you've learned into the action of life. It springs forth because it is like seed that goes into your life, and what it produces is this fruit, and it's got to come out. The empowerment is found in submitting to it. It's in living it day by day, knowing that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It's in practice. So here's the thing then. If it comes out in the practice of life, in the submission to God's Word, that we are empowered as we submit ourselves under His authority and under His power, then what we study and the way we listen to God is as we've been reading about in 2 Timothy, that we have known the Scriptures since our youths that make us wise unto salvation, for all Scripture is inspired by God or God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, right, doctrine, for reproof, that we prove what we believe in God's Word, not just what we hear from man, but what is written in God's Word, for correction, that it would line us up to be as God would have us to be, and for chastening, or instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God would be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You cannot be perfect, complete, ready for every good work if what life you're living is not reflective of God's Word. It's God's Word that is powerful in living. It is God's Spirit within you that is powerful in living. The dunamis, or the power that Jesus had, came because of what He was demonstrating for us. Not that He was going through the process, as much as showing us the process by which we become empowered and return to Him, and we begin to minister and serve other people. And from there, His ministry took off. And from there, His authority went. Turn back with me quickly to Luke, and let's finish here now. Luke chapter 10. I want you to notice something about the disciples when they were given power by God to go forth and power to go out. He sent out the 70, and He told them to go and begin. He said, the harvest is truly plentiful and great, but the laborers are few. In verse 3, He said, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter there, say peace to the house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. He said, remain in the same house and eat and drink whatever they serve before you. Don't go from house to house looking for that better deal. But whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Verse 9, and heal the sick there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. And whatever city you enter that they do not receive you, go out in its street and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Now notice, dropping down now to verse 17. So the 70 returned with joy, and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The relationship that is the foundation for each of us is where all true joy springs from. It's where all true ministry comes from. Because it's directed by God. And He says, hey, it's cool that you went out, that you preached, that even the demons were subject to you, that you healed. But the purpose is that your names would be in heaven. The real purpose in life is to help others. It's not just about having a church, a building. It's not even just about having spiritual gifts with which to help others. It's about helping people come to have a relationship with God with their names written in heaven in His book of life. Do you see what an awesome purpose you've been given on this earth? Do you sense what God has put you here for? Why God is calling you and giving you His Word, His truth, His Spirit? That your purposes are to be about His purposes. That your business is now His business. What interests God is what interests us. And in it, as we grow in fellowship, as we say, God, where do you want me? How do you want me to walk? How do you want me to give? God not only will lead us to the place He wants us to be at the time He wants us to be there, but He will bless us with the power of His Spirit to do the works that He needs us to do, to preach the gospel, to proclaim liberty, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free.
God loves you. God loves you immensely, and in this process, He's going to bless you with what you need for the work He's called you to do. I'm asking you to seek His face, to know what that work is, that you and I together can work for Him and be a blessing to our God. May all praise and honor and glory be to Him.